And you know what, God, it's just beautiful. It's a beautiful time of year. Fall is the colors of fall. It's beautiful. And I know some of you, I know Sharon Ensley had snow yesterday morning a little bit. We had a little snow yesterday. I don't know, said Sterling had some snow. Nothing stayed. No? Not on the ground. Not on the ground. Praise God. We are going to study this morning and look at obedience to God's word. We're like, woo, it's one of those shouting Sunday school lessons. Woo, woo, woo. You know what? Let's go ahead and pray and thank God for his word. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for meeting us here today. We praise you and give you glory. We give you honor. We are so thankful to study your word and to know truth. Bless each one here today. Bless those at home today that are watching online. Bless those that are sick today, Lord. Touch their bodies and help them and heal them. In Jesus' precious name we pray. We thank you, Lord, and give you praise. Hallelujah. He's so good. I know we're going to pray for our brothers and sisters as we get into the service today, thanking God for them and asking for healing for their bodies. There's a number of people not well today. Focusing today on obeying God's word, which we love, and then enjoying the great salvation that we get from obeying his word. And I found, because we are going to be talking about being obedient to God's word, and we're going to be looking at the story of Noah, I found this list that someone put together. They said, all I really need to know, I learned from Noah's Ark. It's just a few words, but it's just nice. Noah didn't wait for his ship to come in. He built one. Plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark, right? Stay fit. When you're 500 years old, you never know when someone might ask you to do something really big. And speed isn't always an advantage. The cheetahs were on board the ark, and so were the snails. Remember that the ark wasn't built by amateurs, and the Titanic was built by professionals. No matter how bleak it looks, if God is with you, there's always a rainbow on the other side. And above all else, don't miss the boat. So, praise God. This person, all I really need to know, I learned from Noah's Ark. Praise God. This lesson today demands a certain amount of faith, first of all, to believe what is written in the Word of God as being true and truth, that there was, in fact, a worldwide flood, and it's recorded in the Bible, it's recorded in various historical books. Cultures all around the world have taught this worldwide flood. In fact, people that have never even entered into a church door, they have heard the story of Noah and the worldwide flood, Noah and the Ark. People that don't even come to church or believe the word have heard of Noah and the flood. I'm so thankful that we have faith, and I'm speaking to a group of faith-filled people today, believers. And I'm thankful that our life as Christians affords us to have faith and more faith and more faith. And we get that from the word of God and hearing the word of God. Praise God. And with that, we get a life to God of obedience and a life of joy. I really want to focus on that throughout, that there is a blessedness in living in obedience to God and his voice, his word, and obeying it. Praise God. Our text today is in Genesis chapter 6, verse 22. We are going to do a lengthy reading, but you know what? It tells the whole story. So it just gives the whole story of the Bible lesson. So that's a foundation for us to just kind of build on. Genesis 22, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Wow, I thought of those three words, so did he. And there's a lot implied in just those three words. It speaks volumes because Noah listened to God, and he did exactly what God wanted him to do. And today's lesson is about that man who obeyed God, and he saved himself and his family. So we're going to read today in Genesis, starting at chapter 6, verse 5. We'll start with, and we'll read through 21, 22, that we just read 22. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both men and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons. We have Shem, Ham, and there's various pronunciations, Jephthah. The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Pretty bleak picture so far, right, of the people on the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and pitch it within and without the pitch. And this is a fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, or 450 feet. The breadth of it 50 cubits, or 75 feet, and the height of it 30 cubits, or 45 feet. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set it in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wives and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of the flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all the food that is eaten, and thou shalt father it to thee, and it shall be for food to thee and for them. And we read this earlier. Verse 22, and thus did Noah, according to all that God had commanded him, so did he. Praise God. That's basically the gist of the whole story today. There's another portion where we find where the ark is finished being in the flood, and he's commanded to leave the ark and go forth and multiply. And then we find Noah doing something that is brilliant and wonderful, where he takes and sacrifices and offers to God a sacrifice for his salvation of himself and his family, and he worships God. Praise God. We are also commanded to obey God, to obey his word, so that we can be saved. And we know that. We come to church and we know the plan of salvation. We know what we need to do to be saved. But it's more than just that in our daily lives of just the initial salvation. And so we see basically the bottom line is just obeying God and being saved. That's the bottom line. And Christians who embrace that have that faith that says, it's deep rooted inside of us that says, you know what, I'm going to walk with God through this life and I'm going to obey him. And I'm going to listen to the voice of the one who is the great I am. I'm going to listen to the voice of the one who is the Alpha and Omega. I'm going to listen to the one who spoke the worlds into existence. And when you are a follower of Christ, you will make decisions that will distinguish you from the world and its wickedness. You will make them because you are filled with God's Spirit. You will make them because you have a conscience to do the things that are right in God's eyes and live above the sin in this world. And God wants the Noahs of 2021, that's who we are today, to be strong. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to be steadfast in his word. He wants us to listen to his voice and obey him. And it's been said that we should work like it depends on us, right? Work like it depends on you and pray like it depends on God. Remember, Noah didn't have a lumber store or an SBS to go down to. How many times have you heard that, brother? You haven't had a lumber store to go down to and buy the wood for the ark. He literally had to go cut the wood down and strip and peel and place it. And the work was, I would like to say endless, but it did end. It was hard work. It was work. And we find in Scripture, in the Old Testament, we see in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, it says, God says, I looked for someone among who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it, but I found no one. God is still looking for men and women who will listen to his word and who will obey his word. In Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2, it says, Now it shall be, if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. And that's what we want to do today. That's why you're here in Sunday school this morning. You want to hear the word of God. You want to know it. You want to obey it. And it boils down to one question in our lives. Will you be like Noah and do the right thing? Although everybody around you is not doing the right thing. They're living however they want to live. And who knows, maybe you're seeing something that they're being possibly blessed by living the way they are. But you know what? Noah did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. And that's how we are supposed to live our lives too. And I love personal stories. And this story is not to give anyone glory but God. When I was almost 20, probably 1920, I worked at a place called E.B. Horseman. And it's an electrical supply wholesale. So when I started there, I took the job for the secretary that was leaving. So I was a secretary. And I just worked my way up, and I worked my way up to counter sales and to inside sales and was offered a job of outside sales. But I was like, they do most of their businesses in taverns. And I was like, no, thank you. No, thank you. But something happened when I was working there, and it wasn't very long. After I moved up to inside sales, we hired a lady named Shirley, and she was a secretary. And she and I had our own restroom, and the men had their own restroom. Well, something happened to our restroom, and I don't know, it was a plumbing issue or what, but it was going to be out of service for days. So it was like blocked off, and people were coming in and out and fixing it. The ladies, Shirley and I, had to use a men's restroom. That sounds like no problem, right? I don't know how many years ago this was, before we had sensitivity training, etc. There were calendars of naked women on that bathroom wall when I walked in there. And I was a new Christian. And you know what I did with every one of them? I pulled every stinking one of them down and threw them in the trash. And when I walked out of there, not one of those guys said a word to me. I think they respected me. Not one of them said a word to me. And most of the guys that came into the office were contractors, and they were all men, and they used that restroom. Not one of them said a word to me, but you know what? They all knew that it was me that took them down. You know, Noah had to stand up for righteousness, even though everyone around him, it was debauchery. It was disgusting what they had given themselves to. The imaginations of every imagination and every thought in their heart was evil continually, the Lord said. And you know what? We too today, we have to live our lives where we glorify God. We stand up for righteousness. And the Holy Ghost inside of us, pray that God allows us to let our Holy Ghost be greater than the spirits around us in our workplace, where we go to a grocery store, where we go visiting. You know what? You have power to change an atmosphere in your home, your workplace, wherever you go, because you are going in the Holy Ghost. You are going with the Lord. Praise God. Our lives in Matthew 5:16 says, let your light and your life so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Will you and I be like Noah today and point people to Jesus Christ, even though we may be ridiculed for it? You know what? The world is changing. We are going to have to take a great, big, huge stand, which is a great, big, huge leap of faith for many of us. And when we look at the story of Noah and the ark, most of these people, the flood itself was mentioned 39 times in the Bible in 13 different books. So we see it throughout. It's just weaved right throughout from Genesis all the way to Revelation. It's just the story is there. And what's so great about this story is Noah is said that he walked with God. And when you, Genesis 6:9, Noah walked with God. Remember Enoch, Noah's great-grandfather? Well, he also walked with God. You think there's something has to do with, you know, your children and your children's children. Think about the heritage that he had. When you walk with somebody, you go for a walk with them, you move at the same pace as they are, the same direction. You're not going to take off one way and they're going another way. You're going to go with them. He walked in step with God, and God was with him. The scripture says that Noah's obedience, Genesis 6:22, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. And in Genesis 7:5, we're told that Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. We could just stop right there and just have a lesson on that. It's amazing. He did all that the Lord commanded him to. And if we're going to be like Noah in his actions and live a righteous life that's unpolluted by the world, we are going to let the Spirit of God be the one inside of us, the Spirit of God, to change the things that are around us, the atmosphere, our workplaces. You know, that's so important because 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that is the truth. That's the truth. I have this devotional book, and it's written by Billy Graham. And reading it, I just thought of this, and I thought, I'm going to include it. He said that a boat doesn't sink because it's in the water. It sinks because the water gets into it, right? It's the same way that Christians, we don't fail to live in the world. We fail because the world is getting into us. And we don't fail to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit because we live in a sea of corruption. It's because the sea of corruption has gotten into us. And I was like, what a great devotional. You know, God help us. We're faced with a choice multiple times during the day. The word or the world? The word or the world? And we need to ask God for wisdom. God, give us wisdom to make good choices. I pray for wisdom for my children. God, give them the wisdom of Solomon. You know, just to be wise in this world, to make good choices. When Noah, he built the ark, God said that he, God, would bring the animals. The animals didn't come when Noah started building the ark. They came when the ark was finished. You and I have to take a step of faith first, and then God will bring the provisions. God will. I love that Noah cherished his walk with God. He cherished it, and he showed his love for God by his obedience to him. Isn't that great? We show our love for God by our obedience to him. Praise God. Genesis 6:5-7 says, And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. R.K. Hughes writes this, and it's so well written. Their depravity was not a temporary state. There were no relentings, no repentances, no hesitations. Lust was their medium. Violence was their method. It was total depravity. Corruption had become so thorough that there was nothing human about these people. Even their thoughts were a constant mental stream of evil. Are you getting the picture? And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man, the beast, the creeping things, the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Wow. The NIV translation says it very well. It says, God's heart was filled with pain when expressing his decision to destroy all of the living creatures. He showed mercy to Noah and his family. Praise God. Noah had a day when he was faced with a test from God. We are going to have days when we are faced with a test. Are we going to do what God wants us to do or not? Noah did what God wanted him to do, and it says he did all. Sometimes we think when we read the Word of God that the people written in the Word of God are superhuman beings, like Superman or all of these other great heroes. I don't know the new ones of 2000. I don't know them, but beyond back when they were superheroes, you know, they were just people. They were mortals. They lived, they breathed, and they died. They, except Enoch, he was taken. But they, in reality, you know what? We are human just like they were human. So Noah wasn't superhuman, is what I'm trying to say. And he still did these things. What Hebrews 11:7 says is that by faith, Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, I love that, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Praise God. The word warned means that he was divinely instructed, and we know that he heard from God, that God spoke to him and told him what he was going to do, basically. So this is a neat thing about it. So the basis of Noah's faith, and we can say the same thing for us, the basis of our faith is the Word of God, what we hear from God, what we read in the Word of God. That is basis. It's the same for us. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I love it. I love that we can have big faith. And that's something about Christians that is so amazing, is you think, oh, I just want to have more faith. You can have as much faith as you can believe for. It's limitless, really. Faith says that when I align myself to God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, according to Scripture, that something special happens in my life. Something miraculous happens in my life. Something eternal happens in my life. And I'm so thankful for that. I love that we can exercise our faith and live in faith. And I have to say, for that 120 years that Noah was building that ark, he exercised his faith. You know, he heard from God and he just exercised it. And he did find grace in the eyes of the Lord. And it's been said, Lonnie told me this, and I'm trying to think of where you heard it from, but it's been said that you will either live by faith or die by fear. I don't know who said it, but I liked it. But Noah lived by faith, not by fear. He lived by the word of what he heard from God. And I'm always amazed. Out of all the people in the world, and I looked at this, the statistics for the actual population, and it changes so fast. But of all the people in the world that the Lord speaks to me, so thankful for that. So thankful. He not only speaks to me, but he loves me. He talks to me. Spirit fills me. And there's a song that they sing. It's one of the most requested at Heritage Place. It's called In the Garden. Absolutely. And that song is inspired by John 20. It's a hymn that celebrates the joyous companionship with the Lord as he walks with us in the garden. And the verses, I just thought, when I was studying, I thought, wow. We know the song. It's, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. The joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. And then the second verse says, he speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. Goes back again. But that's what he is to us. He walks with us. He talks with us. He tells us we are his own. We are special to him. We are his creation. He breathed breath into us. Each one of us, I think of all these poor babies that are being aborted and lost in this world today. You know, that God gives life, and that when they're born, that first breath they ever take is because God gives them breath. And it's a miracle of his very blessings. It's his miracle. And the sad thing is the descendants of Adam and Eve had become so wicked and become so evil that God was sorry that he had ever made mankind. I can't imagine. I mean, but it had become so wicked and so evil. And Noah was this obedient man. He obeyed God. He had God's favor. Except for Noah and his family, all the people of the world were going about their days just with evil, like constant evil. It was, the earth was filled with violence, and mankind had lost sight of God. They had lost sight of living in harmony, and it became a terrible place. But today, church, we have a great hope. We have a hope for those who love God and obey him. We will be rewarded with eternal life. We will be rewarded with life beyond what we know right now and are experiencing. And there's a reason that we choose to live this way and obey his word, because there's a great reward. And the word says in 1 Corinthians 2:9 that no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor human heart conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Philippians 3:20-21 says, our citizenship is in heaven. Matthew 5:12 says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great. Praise God. Revelation 21, starting with 1, it says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God, and he will wipe away every tear from their eye, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things passed away, right? Praise God. Praise God. You know what? And then he said, behold, I am making all things new. Behold, I am making all things new. Praise God. So thankful that Noah did become a preacher of righteousness, warning people about judgment. Did you know that his grandfather was Methuselah, who died the same year as the flood? And if you remember, Methuselah was 969 years old when he died. The word Methuselah means when he is dead, it will come. What will come? He died in the year of the flood. God's judgment came. Did you know that the ark is about half the length of the world's largest cruise ship and about a quarter of the height of the world's largest cruise ship? Isn't that just massive? Have any of you been to Juneau and looked at those huge cruise ships and you're standing right there and they're just like, they just go up and up and up and they're just huge and massive. God made a covenant. He made a covenant with mankind. And I always loved this scripture. I thought it was just so beautiful when I first read it for the first time. Genesis 9:13, when the Lord said, "I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth." The rainbow showing God's glory and his faithfulness. Isn't it just like Satan to try to pollute what God has made so beautiful? I refuse to believe all these rainbow flags, etc., that it's anything, as far as a rainbow is concerned, is God's glory and his faithfulness, his covenant to man. And those colors, have you ever tried to guess those colors of the rainbow? I actually was like, wow, the children probably learn it with an acronym in school. And I never really knew this in studying. I didn't really know the colors, how they went, but the colors, they're made up of seven colors, each rainbow. Kids, Kendra's probably repeating it, right? Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Isn't that amazing? All those beautiful colors with light and water refracted. Well, anyway, I won't go into the science part of it. But isn't he the best creator ever? He really is. And what God says about the rainbow, that it is a sign of his covenant between himself and all life on the earth. In Genesis 6:9, the NIV reads and says that Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. His choices that he made in his life stood out in a stark contrast to the rest of the people at that time. He was righteous in the sense that he did what was right, and he obeyed God, listened to him. He was blameless in the sense that he didn't do that which was wrong. And we can be blameless before God. We can be blameless when we use the term in Scripture for those who are obedient to God. And Acts 3:19 says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Pray today, God, allow your times of refreshing to come to your people once again. Bless your people. This is in his hand. It's by his power. We are able to have these beautiful times in the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God. And this is how we are walking with God. Noah walked with God. He listened to God. This is how we walked with God. When we come into those times of refreshing, those times of just a deluge of his Spirit, praise God. And Peter said, he said that in the end times, mockers will say, "Where is the promise of his coming?" Brother, they'll find it. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The pre-flood population was non-repentant. And you know what? What was that pre-flood population? Have you ever stopped to consider how many people were there? We think, oh, what was there, like 50 people in the city and he saved 8? No, it wasn't like that. Taking the lifespan of humans and the condition of the earth, etc., because of the canopy, most people have taught that the population may have been in the tens of millions or perhaps the hundreds of millions, the population on the earth. Wow. I mean, Noah, you know what? He chose to listen to and obey God. That was a huge job that God gave him. Of all the men in the Bible and the things that they did, that was huge. It was just, it took over a century, over 120 years to roughly to build. And what seemed crazy to the world, it might have seemed crazy to the world. And you know what? The world may think that we're crazy. The things that we do in obedience to God's word. But on that day, when the sky began to pour rain and the foundations of the deep opened up, it wasn't crazy, but it was too late. The Lord says in Matthew 24, 37 through 39, Jesus said, "For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like in the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be." SPC, we need to respond to God just like Noah responded to God. Noah could have believed the evil people around him and just lived like they lived, or believe God's word and his judgment that was to come, right? And no doubt there were people that laughed at him. I'm sure there were many people in those many, many years. But he was faithful. His faith was, okay, I know the ark was huge, but his faith was huge. He had huge faith. To make that huge ark and to provide food for all of those living creatures, it required some preparation, some care, some labor, some expense. You know how much it costs to fill your pantry, right, folks, for a week or two? Imagine that. Because they were they were in that ark for over a year. So that was the kind of faith, big faith, that saved Noah and his family. You know what, church? It's going to take big faith for us to save ourselves and our families in these end times. And as the Antichrist and the spirit of the Antichrist come closer, we come closer to the coming of the Lord, there's going to be more of a spiritual battle. And we have got to have great, big, huge, God-like faith, you know, to conquer the vials of the enemy that come against us constantly. And you know what? What I just thought, these poor people that are sick right now, they're not poor, but the people that are sick, pray for them, because that is when the devil comes in like a flood to try to attack and just speak nothing, bad things. So we need to pray for special covering for all of our church family. When those waters rose and the ark was starting to float around, those mountains, it says that the water rose so high that the tops of the mountains were overflowed by more than 20 feet. And we talked about some of the height of some of these mountains in the world. All the men, all the women, and children that were in the world died except Noah's family. Some people think, oh, you know what? It's too much what you believe to obey God. It's just too much. What we believe will save us and it will save our family because it is the word of God. It is. Jesus said, John 14:23, "Whoever loves me will keep my word. He will obey and keep my commandments." Oswald Chambers said this, "Faith never knows where it's being led, but it loves and knows the one who is leading." Praise God. Henry Blackaby says, "If you know that God loves you, and we know he loves us, you should never question a directive from him. It will always be right and always best. When he gives a directive, you are not to just observe it or discuss it or debate it. You're to obey it." It's incredible. We have been given such a great, great hope, great truth. And when we look at passages in the Bible of these men and women who have had such great faith in God and done great things, it was amazing. They had never heard of anything like a flood. They'd never seen water come from the sky. It was something that had not yet been seen. And then when it was too late. So there had to be that belief before, that repentance before, that foresight, like, yes, I will believe you, Lord, because you are King of Kings. You are the one that created the earth, the heavens. You spoke everything into existence. Why would I not believe you, right? We are blessed. Today we are so blessed. We know truth and we're in a truth-preaching church. And the Lord says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And our joy comes when we are obedient to his voice, his word. And I love that when you read the word and God just shows you something, you're like, oh, yes, I need to do that. I want to do that. And then he gives you this desire. And then you step out in faith, kind of like Peter stepped out of the boat. He had to step out first to get, and then he walked on water to go to the Lord. Imagine that. We have to step out of our boat of life, and God will provide. Praise God. Love the Lord. We are going to praise the Lord and worship like Noah did after he landed. He built an altar of sacrifice and worshiped the Lord. And that's exactly what we're going to do here today. Sunday morning, celebrate Jesus. Why don't we just greet one another and say hello. Tell your brother and sister how much you love them. And let's go into worship service this morning. Praise God. God bless.